Welcome to another inspirational podcast from Nations Church. For more great content and updates, visit nationschurch.com.
It's my great privilege to introduce to you our guest speaker for today. Pastor Debbie Prescott is a well-known friend of this house. If you've been around this church, you would know Pastor Debbie. She's more than a friend, I think, to Ken and I. She's become, her and her husband Ian have become like family, deeply trusted and valued ministers in this nation and in the nations. Pastor Debbie and Ian, they, for 10 years, they led the prayer and intercession team for Planet Shakers Church, as Planet Shakers was becoming a church of multiplied thousands, both in Australia and around the globe. Today, she's a part of Bridge Church, our Pastor Corey Turner's church. Corey's obviously a great friend of ours as well. And the 9 a.m. service was fire. It was such an incredible word. You are in for a treat. So I wonder if we could honor the woman of God, if you could stand to your feet and welcome Pastor Debbie Prescott.
Why don't you take your seats? Well, I'm really honoured to be here. I love coming here. It does feel like family. I started to cry when I walked in this morning because it just feels just so welcoming and so much like home. And I really do want to honour your pastors. Look, I do travel a lot and I speak in a lot of different churches. But you've got absolute gold here. Oh, you really do. These people really care for you, really care for you. And, you know, I know that you value and you love them. But before we get into it, I just want to share with you, as I was praying, a prophetic word that I got for this house. And it was actually in Nehemiah 4:2. And it's the story of where Nehemiah is actually rebuilding the walls that were crumbled and broken down in Jerusalem. And while they're doing that, and it's an incredible team effort, his leadership unparalleled, and all of them are building the wall. Then Sanballat, who really, you know, represents the demonic, comes and says these words and says, "Can they revive these burnt stones? These stones, can they bring them to life again, the ones from the rubbish heap?" And I felt the Holy Spirit speak to me and say that there is an anointing on this house to actually, that God is actually going to bring in lives that are so burnt, so broken, they are on the rubbish heap. There is no hope for them. But God is bringing them into this house. And so get ready, because they carry issues, they carry problems. They're the ones that don't know all the protocol and the nice and right answers to give. But if you will embrace them and love them, you wait and see, because there's an anointing. You know, God sees not as they are, as they will be. That's what prophecy is all about. Amen. So let me encourage you. And it was interesting, because the scripture that God gave me with that scripture was something I noticed on Pastor Chris's heart, which is Luke 14 to 15, where there's the wedding banquet that Jesus gives a parable about, this amazing wedding banquet where he invites all these people to come, but you know what? They don't want to come. So he says to the servants, "Go out then and bring in the lamed, bring in the maimed, bring in the broken, bring in the blind and the poor, bring them in." And I feel like the Holy Spirit's saying, you know what? They're the ones that are coming in, because they're the ones that are hungry. They're the ones that are hungry. And you wait and see what will happen to them. You know, I often think of Mary Magdalene, whose 7 demons were cast out. So you can imagine what she must have been at the beginning, right? But the transformed life, because of her love for Jesus, the transformed life. And, you know, when there's need, that sets you up for encounter. It really does. Okay, well, before I get into it, I want to say a couple of things. Firstly, I really, really want to encourage you to go to this prophetic conference. How many of you want to hear the word of the Lord? Really? Like, come on. And also, can I encourage you to invite the unsaved? Will you do that? I was telling the earlier service what came to my mind when Pastor Chrissy was encouraging you for the night service to bring the unsaved was one of our people, when we're back in Plant Shakers, brought to a conference an unsaved Muslim girl, actually invited her to come, and she came in the full garb, bless her heart. And honestly, as soon as she walked in, she was on my heart. I was like drawn to her. And the Holy Spirit gave me a word of knowledge for her, which was that she'd been terribly sexually abused. And I'm like, oh God, I don't want to say that. What if I'm wrong? You know, it's like you doubt. And I felt the Holy Spirit say, Debbie, trust me. Just deliver it in love. Deliver it gently. Trust me, but go for it. So I did. I went up to her and I said to her that, you know, God just loves her so much and has seen her pain, and I shared the word. Well, she broke down and she was trembling from top to bottom, uncontrollably trembling. The Holy Spirit was all over her, because the word of God is true. It says if you bring the unsaved in and they hear people prophesying, or people prophesy over them, and their heart, their secrets of their hearts are revealed, they know that God is with them. They know that God is real. You know, and people want to see a true demonstration of the power of the kingdom of God. This is where you can truly say to someone, you will see God, how real God is. You will see it. So let me encourage you, bring the unsaved. Amen. All right, let's pray and then we'll get into it. Father, we just thank you so much. We are so blessed. We are so blessed. And we thank you that you are here with us. You're closer than the very air that we breathe. You are here. This is your meeting. Holy Spirit, I'm asking that you would just take it over. Lord, that you would do whatever you want to do, and that you would speak through me exactly what you want to say, Lord. And I want to open up my heart, Lord, to receive it as well. Father, because we're in desperate need of more of you. We're desperately in need of more, Father. So we open ourselves up today. We're not waiting for conference. We're opening ourselves up right now, right here, for the more, in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, well, I want to really, really get you ready for next week, because I do believe with all of my heart that your conference has already started. Okay, it's already started. So I want to have a look at first what prophecy actually is. Let's define what it is. Well, in the New Testament, the Greek word that is used for prophecy actually means to speak forth the will of God or the truth of God. To speak forth the will of God or the truth of God, and also to foretell or predict the future. But not always is there a predictive element. So when you're reading your Bible, you know, when you're reading your Bible and you're just doing your devotions or whatever, and you see a phrase like, you know, you are a child of God, and suddenly it just lights to you. Suddenly you see it in a way you've never seen it before. That's a prophetic word. That's actually a prophetic word. That's God saying to you, this is my truth. You're my child. You're mine. You're my child. You belong to me. You know, and I want us to start to put a lot more weight and value, not just on the word of the prophet, though I value, I want it, and I, you know, I welcome it, but also these still small voices. Amen? It's really important. And you see, the word is can be given in any way, and you've got to give permission for the Holy Spirit, because he's a gentleman, all right? You've got to give permission for the Holy Spirit to speak to you in whatever way he wants. And it may be publicly. And for some of you, and I felt this even again on this service, for some of you, you're afraid of that. You're actually fearful that you could be called out. But can I just say, your Father is not in the business of shaming or embarrassing you. He does not want to do that. In fact, I even felt there's someone here that doesn't want to come for that reason. They're actually afraid to come. No, your God is not like that. He loves you. He'll speak to you exactly what you need and how you need it. So trust Him. So get rid of that fear. That's just the demonic trying to stand there and stop you from receiving what God wants for you. It may come through a friend. You know, something about a prophetic conference, let me explain. You see, the prophetic, what your pastors are actually doing, they're honouring the gifting, the prophetic gifting. They're bringing honour to that gifting. The minute you do that, it breaks out, right? Honour means breakout. And not only with the person that's on the stage, but through the rest of you. You will find it breaks out. That's exactly what's happened. I've just come from Pastor Corey's conference and that's exactly what happened. Because he honoured the gifting, it suddenly broke out and everyone was prophesying. People were getting words for each other. They're prophesying over each other because that's what it does. So, you know, if you want that, then be there and receive that from that conference. But the word can come from the girl sitting next to you or the man sitting next to you. Right. It can even come from someone that you don't really like. Can I say that? And often God will do that because He'll test your heart. Yeah. Do you really value the Holy Spirit in everybody or just in some people? Do we really, really honour the Holy Spirit in everyone? Because you see, there's no junior Holy Spirit, right? There's not a junior one. It's all of us. If you are born again, saved, filled with the Spirit, you have the same Holy Spirit as the prophet that's going to stand on the stage and you're going to be astounded by what comes out of his mouth, right? I want you to all say this, the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in who? 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 Do you really believe that? Absolutely. Okay, I want us to think and meditate on that and keep saying it because that's actually the truth. That's the truth. You see, we've got to allow the word to come any which way it likes. And the word says, do not despise the prophetic. Do not despise it. And I gave this example in the first service and I want to do it again because I think it's very significant for somebody. You know, years and years ago, someone gave me a prophetic word and they did it very lovingly, very nicely, very kindly. And this was the word, Debbie, your children you need to stop making an idol of your children, basically. They said it much nicer than that, but that was basically it. And I would not receive it. It was a friend and she did it beautifully, but I was like, thank you. But I did not receive that word. I'm like, you're wrong, you have no idea. I pray for my children all the time. They're under the Lordship of Jesus and I pray for them. But she was right. But I would not honour that. I would not receive that word. 10 years go past, and in that 10 years, we had a lot of difficulty with our two eldest children. Thank God both of them are serving the Lord now, but we went through hell, absolute hell. And in the midst of it all, I pray and I said, Lord, show me where the opening was here. I've got to know because, you know, I want to not only get our kids free, but I want to also be able to, you know, help other people. And He said these words, you've made an idol of your children. I'm here, they're here, I can't protect them because you've actually put them above me and I'm here. So you've got to reverse that in order for you to see the protection over their lives. Now, what if I had have honoured that word 10 years ago? What if I had have believed that word and accepted that word 10 years ago? You know, I'm not saying just to accept anything that anyone says, but let me tell you, if it really hits you hard and you, it's probably right. Okay? It probably is right spot on. And you need to, if you doubt, take it to a leader. You see, I didn't do that. And I honestly believe if I had it, they would have said, yeah, that's right. Because I know what I was like then. So let me encourage you to value the prophetic word no matter how it comes. You know what? And also you may not get a word from anybody. I've been in that situation. How do you feel? What does the enemy say? Well, you see, you're not special enough. You're not important enough. You haven't got any call on your life. That's why you didn't get a word. That's what you hear. That's what the enemy says is not very original. I've heard that too. You know, I prayed, I fasted, I went to the conference, I was there and I got nothing. No one spoke to me. Well, you know when that happens, what I've found is that the Holy Spirit, He wants some intimacy with you. He wants to just speak that word to you. Just to you. There are some words that have got to be whispered in secret. And I tell you what, they're the words that change your heart. You've got to value that word. So don't think if it doesn't come, there's a place for it to be declared. There's a place for you to receive words from others. But you've also got to know how to get the word of the Lord and the prophetic word yourself. You've got to know. You see, David, you know, look at David who, you know, many of us is our hero, one of my heroes in the Bible. And he had the prophet Samuel, and he honoured the prophet Samuel's words, the prophetic word that came through Samuel. But when David was at Ziklag, and those of you who know your Bible know the story, David came back from, and all of his wives, children, and the wives and children of his men, all of their belongings, everything was gone, absolutely gone. And the men were turning against him and he needed a prophetic word. But the prophet wasn't there. The prophet wasn't around. He needed to get that word. And he had to dig into the Lord himself and hear and get the word of what he needed to do. And for many of us, you have got to get your word. And my title for this sermon is this: you are the prophet over your own destiny. You are the prophet over your own destiny. So we've got to take this seriously. You know, and I believe as we look through this scripture, you know, God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And He is no respecter of persons. And what He does in allowing us to have records of how He's acted in the past is to show us, in fact, how things operate in the kingdom of God and what His what He wants our response to be. So I want to have a look at Mark 4:35. It says this: as evening came, Jesus said to His disciples, "Let's cross to the other side of the lake." So they took Jesus in the boat and started out, leaving the crowds behind, although other boats followed. But soon a fierce storm came up. High waves were breaking into the boat and it began to fill with water. Jesus was sleeping at the back of the boat with his head on a cushion. The disciples woke him, shouting, "Teacher, don't you care that we're going to drown?" When Jesus woke up, he rebuked the wind and said to the waves, "Silence, be still." Suddenly the wind stopped and there was a great calm. Then he asked them, "Why are you afraid? Do you still have no faith?" The disciples were absolutely terrified. "Who is this man?" they asked each other. "Even the wind and the waves obey him." Now, this is not a passage you would generally use to talk about prophecy. But let me just take you through it and we'll see that God's actually using it to show us some things here today. Because when Jesus said to the disciples, "Go to the other side," that was their prophetic word. Yeah? That was the prophetic word that he was declaring. Now, can I just say to you, that exact same voice, right? That voice that said, "Go to the other side," was the voice that spoke and created that very lake that they were about to go over. Right? That was the voice. That's the voice that has said to you and whispered to you, "Your children will come back to the Lord." That's the voice that has whispered to you, "By the stripes that I bore on the cross, you were healed." That's the same voice, exactly the same voice. It's the same voice that has prophesied over you, "Fear not." Same voice, exactly the same voice. Why is it that we don't honor it in the same way? It's exactly the same. His word, you know, it says Jesus is the word, yeah?
Yeah.
He is the word. But we've got to treat it exactly like that. That's how we've got to honor it. You've got to honor it. You've got to value it. You've got to believe it. And you've got to treasure it. So when you get a prophetic word, and I don't care how it comes, but when you know God has spoken in your quiet time or from someone else or however. You've got to treasure that and guard it in your heart. It says in Luke 2, Mary, when she got the prophetic word that she was going to be the mother of Jesus Christ, it said she treasured it in her heart. Yeah. She pondered it in her heart. And that's what we've got to do. It's, you see, what happens when you do that is it germinates on the inside of you. Right? It germinates. You know, let me give you an example, all right? My background is horrendous sexual abuse. That's what I came from. I'm first-generation Christian. And I would read the scriptures, the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses you from all sin, right? I'd read that. But I felt dirty, right? That's how I felt. Then one day, I just got this. It was like a prophetic word. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses me, not just from my sin, from all sin, from what has been done to me. The blood of Jesus cleanses me, right? The blood cleanses me. Now, how did that come? And it changed my life because from that moment on, I never felt dirty again. I felt like this rush went over me and I was completely sparkling, totally clean, right? But I pondered in that word for months and months and months. I just kept going over and over and over and over, and finally it germinated in my heart. And that's what you've got to do with the prophetic word. If it's not touching your heart, it hasn't moved down from your head yet. All right? And so the prophetic word can't be activated in the same way. Do you understand that? Okay? So you've got to do that. All right. What happens next in our story? They go and get the boat. They've got the word, go to the other side. But what do? They go and get the boat. And can I just say, some of you have got to go and get your boat. You've got the word, but you've got to actually do something. You've got to do something to activate faith. You've actually got to do something. You know, you're waiting and seeing what God will do, but God is waiting on you. He's done his bit. He's done it. He's paid the full price for it to come to pass, and he's spoken it out. And now he's waiting on you. And those of you who think, well, I had this prophetic word, and look, if it's God, then it'll happen. But if it isn't, it won't. That is rubbish. Can I just say rubbish? It is to misunderstand your responsibility to partner with God in the whole thing to see that prophecy fulfilled. You know, there are certain things in God where, you know, like our salvation, well, you don't have to do anything. You just receive it by faith. That's all you have to do. You just receive forgiveness by faith. But there are other things where you must partner with the Holy Spirit. You must partner with Him to see it come to pass. Now, I know that some things certainly do happen. You know, there was a prophetic word given to a man in our church that he was going to come financially be blessed. And that same week, someone actually, he doesn't know to this day who, paid off their entire mortgage. Wow. Hallelujah, I'm putting my hand up for that one. But there are others where you get the same word, but you've actually got to sow a seed. You've got to start giving. You've got to start doing something that actually says, I believe this word and I'm actually going to act on this word. Otherwise, it's going to sit there. It's going to sit there. It's got to be believed. It's got to be valued. And it's got to be acted on. Because prophetic words are invitations, not guarantees. They are not a guarantee. It's not a guarantee. It's definitely going to happen. It's an invitation, and God's saying, this is what I want for you. This is what I've got for you. Do you want it? Do you want it? Do you want to pick it up? Do you want to pick it up? And that's what we've got to be obedient to the word. You know, I had a vision when I was praying for you guys, and it was this, a box. I saw a box with prophetic words in it. And numbers of you have had prophetic words over the years. Some of you that have walked with the Lord a long time and you've got these prophetic words and you've got them filed away, you've got them kept somewhere and you take them out and you read them. But they're more, and it feels great when you do, but they're more, they've been given for more than a feel-good moment. Yeah, and they've got to be acted on. And the word of the Lord for you today is you need to act on those words. You've got to act on them. We've got to value them and we've got to do something to show God that we actually really, really mean it. Okay? Really, really mean it. Now then, what happens in our story? What is next in our story? And this is honestly, I think it's almost inevitable when you've got a true prophetic word, and that is the storm comes. The storm hits. And how many of us have had powerful prophetic words or something that we've got in God, and then all of a sudden you get the diagnosis, or you get, you know, worse news about your children, or you get, you know, it's just something happens and you find yourself in a storm. And when you are in the storm, it is, the circumstances are so contrary to the word, it is crazy. They're almost like diametrically opposed to the word of God. All right? And what happens with many of us is we drop the word at that point. And we say, well, that wasn't a true prophecy. That was just a false prophecy. It wasn't the word of the Lord. But we've got to make a decision, right? What you have got to make a choice. Do you believe the circumstances or are you going to believe the word of the Lord? That's your choice. Circumstance, that's the world, or the word of the Lord, which comes from another kingdom. And you've got to make that choice and you've got to stand. And when everything seems like haywire, you've got to hang on to the word. You do not allow what you're feeling in the dark to dictate what you heard in the light. You've got to hold that word. You've got to hold that word because it will be tested. And you've got to go back to that word. You know, go back. Because, you know, they've got this. And what happened too when they were in that storm? The greatest storm wasn't on that sea. It was actually in their hearts because they were started to get rattled and started to think Jesus didn't care. And how many times have we felt like that? It's like, hang on a minute, you know, if you don't even like to verbalize it, but your feeling is if you really cared or if that was really real, you know, it would all come to pass. No, it's a test because God is training you to rule and reign in life. That's what he's training you to do. But you've got to hold on to the word in the storm. You know, why? And my question is this. After, you know, they go to Jesus and they woke him. And they speak to him, which is prayer. In our language, that's praying to him. Yeah? And he does what they've asked. He stills the storm, but he is not happy with them. Not happy. And I think sometimes we can pray. We call it prayer, but it's actually complaining. you know. And Jesus isn't happy. Why? What did he want them to do? He wanted them to trust the word that he had spoken to them. He wants you to trust the word that he has spoken to you. You remember the story of Moses. Moses prophesied over the children of Israel that they would all go into the promised land. Did they all go into the promised land? No. Was Moses a prophet? He prophesied they'd all go in, but they didn't. What stopped the others not going in? Unbelief. Right? Unbelief can kill a prophecy. It can. It can. It can kill a prophecy. So you've got to remember in the storm, no, what did God say? I'm going to hang on to that. The other thing that he was trying to do is train them for when he wasn't going to be around in the flesh. He was trying to teach them what to do when you're in the middle of the storm and the prophet isn't right there with you. Okay? He's trying to teach them that. And that's what he's trying to teach us right now. And what had he taught them? He had taught them to speak to the mountain. Yeah? That's what he taught them. Let's have a look at that scripture. Mark 11, 23. For assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believe those things that he says will be done. He will have whatever he says. Four times he is saying the word says, 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 says. We talk about the mountain to everybody, but we don't talk to the mountain. All right? We've got to talk to the mountain to see that mountain moved. You've got to speak it. It's not good enough to think it. All right? It's not good enough in the storm to just think about it. You've got to activate it and speak it out. Okay? You are the prophet of your own destiny. All right? You are the prophet of your own destiny. You see, your prophetic word that you had, whatever it was, however it came from, is a weapon. Let me share another scripture with you. 1 Timothy 1:18. This charge I commit to you, son Timothy, according to what? The prophecies previously made concerning you, that by them you may wage the good warfare. You must go to war with your prophecy and declare it verbally. Let me give you the best demonstration that I have for my life. Our son Ben, who at the moment is a pastor overseas and works under Jensen Franklin. There was a time in his life when he was so far away from God, so gone, it would break any mother's heart, and it broke mine. And I did not even have a prophetic word over him. There were words that had been given, but there was no thus saith the Lord word over his life at that time. And we were in the middle of a storm, and I had to find that word. Right? My husband and I had to dig in scripture until we found the word for Ben's life. And that's what we did. That's exactly what we did. We just went through scripture and we're crying out, God, give us the word. God, speak to us about Ben. God, what are we going to fight with? And he spoke Isaiah 54:13. All of your sons will be taught of the Lord and great will be your peace. Well, when I had that word, I tell you what, I picked up that word. I prophesied that word over him and over him. And when the circumstances look worse and we get worse reports of what he's doing and what he's up to, I prophesied the word. My husband prophesied the word. All of my sons will be taught of the Lord and great will be their peace. All of my sons will be taught of the Lord and great will be their peace. You see, you've got to fight. You've got to fight. And whatever it is it valuable enough for you to fight for? Is it? Are you prepared to let the enemy just have your kids, your life, your future, your health, your finances, your neighbors, this nation? No. No more. We are going to fight. We've got to fight with the word of the Lord. Amen. Amen. You see, angels, it says in the word, Psalm 103:20 says, angels heed the word. Angels heed the voice of the word of God. What happens is that your words, when you're speaking out prophetic words, and they're God's words, right? They're the word of the Lord. The angels recognize that that comes from the throne room of heaven. They know the word. They recognize it. And that activates them on your behalf. They become activated because they know their assignment. They can't read your mind. They're waiting for you to declare it. But our problem is simply this. You see, your words are very powerful. Life and death are in the power of your tongue. Just that scripture alone is quite frightening, really, because it's such power there. Because your words can activate angels' assignment, activate all of heaven over a circumstance in your life, or they will activate the demonic over your family, over your life, over your circumstances, over whatever it is you're believing for. It's your choice. That's why it says choose, life and death, choose. And we've got to, sometimes it's easier to believe the word that God has spoken, that it is to discipline our tongue to come in line with that word and make sure that we're just speaking in line with that word all the time, speaking in line with that word. And I know myself, you know, there are many times, many, many times where I've spoken out in anger, in frustration or whatever, and I've had to repent. It's my husband who, you know, bless his heart, he'll say to me, that's what you're prophesying, are you, Debbie? That's what you're prophesying over our family. I feel like, shut up. But he's right. He's right. I cannot afford to prophesy that. The enemy has no power unless you hand it to him. Through your mouths. No power whatsoever if you're a born-again believer. None whatsoever. But I tell you what, we've got to do some work today and we've got to do some repenting and we've got to break some curses because we've spoken them out and they've got to be destroyed and we've got to believe for a crop failure today. Amen? Because it's too much at stake here. too much at stake. God needs every one of you fully activated to fulfill the call and the destiny that He has had on your life when He created you. It is not enough to just settle. It is not enough. We cannot. You are the prophet of your destiny, and for numbers of you, the destiny of your entire family. What are you going to prophesy? What are you going to declare? You know, as I said to the others, you know, lack is not your prophecy. Depression is not your prophecy. It's not, you know, messed up kids is not your prophecy. Anxiety is not your prophecy. Settling for a comfortable life is not your prophecy. It is not your prophecy. Do you want to settle for that? How does it look any different to the people out there? And God has so much more for you. But you've got to want it and you've got to fight for it because there's a cost involved. There's a cost. But it is so worth it. It is so worth it because when I look at my Ben, I just went, you know, to the States. I just came back. And there was maybe, I don't know, 7,000 people, and he gave an altar call for the unsaved. And my heart just broke when I saw all these people just flocking to the front. And I said to the Lord, it was all worth it. What we had to go through when we were prophesying over his life, it is worth it. It is worth it. But there's a cost and a price for whatever it is that God... You see, the enemy hates the prophetic word. But I tell you what, if you will dare to preach it, prophesy it, speak it, declare it, you wait and see what your God is about to do. All right? And now just as we're finishing, I want to quote to you. I want a few things I want to do. Firstly, I want to quote to you what Bill Johnson, who's the, those of you, most of you would know who he is, but he's a pastor in a church called Bethel who's seen incredible miracles, probably more than any other church in the world or near to. And this is what he said. Nothing happens in the kingdom of God without a declaration. When we say what the Father is saying, all of heaven is brought into the equation. It is no longer enough to do this unintentionally or sporadically. Rather, it must become the intentional strategy of the last day's army. It must become. And I want to have a look at a very, very familiar scripture that if you've been in church, you would have seen this. And it's Acts 2, 17 to 18. And I guess it's been preached hundreds and hundreds of times. And it's this scripture. In the last days, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions and your old men will dream dreams. In those days, I will pour out my spirit even on my servants, men and women alike, and they will prophesy. Now, I've looked at that many, many times, and I confess, I've thought, oh, that's great. You know, that's great that that's going to happen. And then the Holy Spirit said to me, so what days are you living in now? Like, the last days. It's like, that's right. What is God saying? He's saying, this is what I have called you all to do. This is not just a nice scripture. This is what I want you all to do. Are you a son and daughter? If you're a son and daughter, then you need to prophesy. What does that look like? This is what it looks like. It means that we're the ones that got to stand up in the face of despair and hopelessness and disappointment and anxiety and depression and doubt and anger and unbelief and disobedience and declare the word of the Lord. Speak life and hope and faith and blessing and prosperity and fruitfulness. We've got to do it. What does that look like practically? I'll tell you. Okay, in a work situation, for example, or wherever you find yourself. And work, maybe it's a tough place. Maybe it's a very competitive place. Maybe it's not very friendly and it's a real cutthroat environment. Then this is what this scripture is imploring you to do. Go in early before anyone else is there. Lay your hands on every single desk. Go into every office and release the word of the Lord. Lord, I just declare and release the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of you. I declare that people are going to be kind and loving and thoughtful. I declare they're going to have experiences and encounters with you. I declare, Lord, that this place is going to be filled with the glory of the Lord. I prophesy that. That's what God is telling us to do. Not just turn up when everyone else does and sit there silently. God has more inside of you. Remember the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead. He wants to be released into that atmosphere. So you've got to do that wherever God places you, wherever it is. You know, I've just come from a situation where one of my children in the last 48 hours was taken to hospital to have an emergency operation. I'm not just standing in that emergency room saying nothing. I can't anymore. I am committed and bound by this word. I'm prophesying over her, prophesying over her, prophesying over her until, you know, her situation bows to the name of Jesus. I don't have an option and neither do you. All right, wherever you find yourself, prophesy the word of the Lord. You know, we've got, it's not enough for us to think it. We actually are responsible. Once God gives you a prophetic word, you are responsible to activate it. That's why it's been given. Amen. So let's just do some business, shall we? Firstly, right, and I just feel very strongly, this is really strongly in my heart, that some of us, and we know we've done this, you've actually, and I mean probably everyone in this room has, you've actually spoken words that are absolutely, you want them killed today. Basically, you want those words dead. You want to cut them off and break their power because you've spoken words of negativity over your own life, over your children's life, over other people. I don't know, but you know, right? Show of hands. Is that anybody in this room? Okay, right? So we're going to stand now and we're going to start to repent. Yep, get up on your feet. Only if you mean this. This is business with God deal. And I'm doing it too because I've done exactly the same. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come to you deeply repentant, Lord, deeply sorry that we've used the power that you've given us through our words to actually agree with the enemy. Lord, we've used the power of our words to curse instead of bless. Lord, we deeply repent. We fall out of agreement with those words today in Jesus Christ's name. And we declare a crop failure over those words. We break the power of those words in Jesus' name. We break the curse attached to those words in Jesus' name. And now we prophesy life. We prophesy blessing. We prophesy fruitfulness. We prophesy health and wholeness. We prophesy the word of the Lord. I want you to start prophesying now. The word of the Lord. Start to speak it out. Start to speak it out over your own lives. Over that exact circumstance where you prophesied death. Now replace it with life. Come on. We bless you, Father. We thank you, Lord, that your word is spirit and it's life. We thank you, Lord, that you have plans for our good and not for our calamity, to give us a future and a hope. We thank you, Lord, that we're the head and not the tail. We're above and not beneath. I thank you, Father, that we are mighty in you. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that all the promises are yea and amen to those who believe. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Now, while we're all standing, if you have, you know that you've had a prophetic word and you've either dropped it or you haven't acted on it, you just know that the Holy Spirit is speaking to you now and He gave you a word, but you haven't acted on it or you've dropped it. Can you just put your hand up now as we're going to pray? That's right, all over this. Put it up high so I can see who we're praying for. Yep, many, many, many of you. And I've done the same. God convicted me exactly the same. So the Lord is asking you, will you pick this up? Will you act on this? Will you be obedient to His word? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Father, I just thank you for what you're doing right now in this room. The Holy Spirit is moving. And in this atmosphere, if you do not know Jesus, or you do know Him, you know of Him, but you've never come into what I would say is a real personal, deep, intimate relationship with Jesus. Or maybe you once did, but you know you're not in that place again right now. And you want to come back to that place. Can you just put your hand up for me so I can pray for you? One, anyone else? Can you put it up high just so I can see? Thank you, Jesus. Two, yeah, anyone else? Anyone else? Two very, very brave people. All of heaven rejoices because three, I see that hand. God wants four, I see that hand. I see it. Because God wants to activate your prophecies over your life more than you do. But the first step is to bow your knee completely to Jesus Christ, totally. So we're going to pray this prayer, all of us together. And those of you who put your hands up, you've got to believe that when you speak this out and you believe it in your heart, you are born again. You are born of the Spirit. Everything that you've done in the past is dead, it's over, it's finished, it's gone. And now you activate new life. Now you activate the prophetic over your life. Now you activate God's plans for your life. So let's pray now. Okay, let's pray all together. Father, I thank you that you sent Jesus. And he died on a cross for all of my sin and rose again. And Lord, I confess that I've done life my way. But I want to give my life completely over to you, Jesus. I give you full control. And I ask you, Lord, to fill me with your Holy Spirit, to enable me to live the life that you have called me to live. And I thank you, Father, that all things have now passed away, that now all things are new, and I am born again. I am born of the Spirit, and I activate now every prophetic word over my life. The reason for my creation is now activated in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Thanks for listening to the Nations Church podcast. For more great content and updates, visit nationschurch.com.